I think Mike is going to be really sad that that he's missing all of the sounds that you guys do when we're testing mics before we're. And I don't mean when we're testing mics, like we're testing the listeners.
We're the most amazing mic testers.
Are we still testing mics or are we recording?
No, we're good. Yeah, it's all happening. This is real. This is.
Dude, we are kicking it old school.
We are.
Oh, yeah, Mike is going to love this. Isn't this on the bingo thing? Because I'm about to talk about how hot it is in this garage.
Yeah, it's the temperature in the garage.
It's a little warm.
It's very hot. It's
Kevin's
July.
Word poetry on the garage refrigerator is down to one word, and that word is lick.
Lick.
Yeah, well, you know.
I mean, if you had to finalize one.
Once you get two kids, that's you have to just have, like, the word poetry goes.
Yeah, yeah, it's very. I didn't even notice that, but and it's
sure
a,
enough,
it's a real big one.
And there are probably things in that their refrigerator that you could do that to.
Well, you know, if that refrigerator is doing its job, which sometimes is a coin flip,
yeah,
then yeah, sure. But yeah, we are back. We're back in our old stomping grounds.
Kevin's got the chalice.
I do. I have the
that
yeah.
That no, is severe old school. That's like first 6 months of this show.
It is
old school.
No, I'm working the chalice. The chalice is sweating. It's so it's warm.
Ah, oh, the chalice isn't the only thing sweating in here.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
So you guys been? What's in the news? What's happening?
Well, I'm currently enjoying a tasty rosé that smells like buttered popcorn.
Oh yeah, we talked about that.
Well, not for our greater
for
listening
for our listening Tokyo
audience.
I smelled it, and I will vouch.
Yeah,
I will vouch for that.
Well, anyway, why don't we get into it, kids?
Yeah, let's get started.
All right.
You go.
I'm Shane.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Kevin.
Somebody likes it. So if you guys... Listeners, not you two. Jokers. Yeah.
I'm listening to you.
Okay, great. If you want to split. You must have been really annoying when you were like a little kid. Like
oh,
one of those really literal.
Kevin will tell you.
Really nah, literal well, joke.
And
dudes.
All little, for the record, all little kids talk like that. They're like, no, we're all listening. We're all standing right here.
Yeah.
Say what you're going to say. So yeah. Do it.
Well, there's only three of us, which is what we were alluding to. And
we are Markless.
Tonight
we
we're
Markless.
A power trio.
Yeah, it's Mark's been on summer vacation.
We're like ZZ Top over here.
No, no, no. Oh, man. I wish I would have brought my really long Billy Gibbons beard wig had I known.
Man.
I'm sure
I don't have that, but now
you can bring it next time and we'll just allude to it.
I wonder if I can have someone make that for me.
A Billy
Gibbons, like a long, like down to my knees or past, like beard wig that goes to a point.
Sure. Yeah, probably.
Dare to dream, Shane. Yeah. Like, I mean, you gotta have goals in life, man.
I don't know that
exists. And there you are.
But, yeah. We've never done ZZ Top on the show, have we?
Not
well, I don't know. I brought up the fact that I waited on Frank Beard once.
Oh,
who,
yeah,
ironically,
yeah.
is the one member of the band who does
who
not
have
a beard.
Have a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, anyhow, you had something you were going to bring up?
Oh, no. I just wanted to bring up Mark wasn't here. And, well, all the stuff, we haven't done shows in a few weeks, and we'll all catch up on that stuff.
Mark has been in Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Which is the way they pronounce it over there. And so we'll probably talk about that. I'm sure we'll talk about that more when he gets back. But suffice it to say that, you know, I expect the next show that we do when he is back to have some, you know, like a kind of a European flair.
Yeah.
Maybe he brought some castanets.
I don't know. Yeah,
I just hope he had a siesta.
He could do flamenco. Oh, we'll take a. Well, you, buddy.
Well, no,
buddy,
I had a siesta right before the show.
You take siestas on a daily basis.
All right. All right, Ryan's siestas are fiestas.
I party down.
Yeah,
I nap.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, Ryan.
We are here to discuss. First I want to do a disclaimer. I want to apologize to our audience because we got three of the least funky people on the planet.
Hey.
Talk about Parliament's 1975 record Mothership Connection.
You know, I may not have platform shoes or Bootsy Collins star sunglasses, but I can appreciate the funk.
Like, oh no, I appreciate it. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm just not necessarily funky.
Well, you know, originally, nor was.
Oh, you were not.
You're not funky.
You're not.
Yeah, I'm self-aware. It's fine.
Yeah.
But you do you do appreciate a funky groove. Like, you did. You brought up Atomic Dog. That's a George Clinton song.
I love that song so much. Actually, I like it better than anything on this record. But, however, I do think it's a good record. It's a little busy.
Oh.
Yeah, there's... I mean, I think there were approximately, what, 700 people in this band?
Like, dude, they got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a few years ago. 15 members of this band got inducted.
Yeah.
Like, they probably had to, like, bring them up onto the stage in shifts.
And that was, like, way after their high point, and some people were gone, departed.
Some of them were probably dead.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. Well, and the tour, you know, so these guys, the kind of the... one thing worth noting is that, like, they actually just put out material for the first time since 1980, like, recently, like, within the last couple of months.
Well, they've had all kinds of, like, label problems where they could call it this or call it that, and that's...
We should definitely get into that, and that's a big part of the P-Funk and Parliament story, but yeah, Homeboy put out a record...
Homeboy being George Clinton?
George Clinton. Put out a record in the Parliament Funkadelic put out a record within the last 60 days. And some of the folks who play on it are the children of original touring members
that were part
of that band.
It's like that
in the
Van
70s.
Halen situation where they brought in like Wolfgang to replace Michael Anthony.
Yes. Yeah, special plans.
This record came out in what, 75? So that's
1975. Yeah.
That's 42 years ago. 43 years ago.
Yeah.
Math is hard, Shane.
It depends on what time of the year it came out in, Ryan. So, no, it's not. if it came out before today or before, then, yeah, it's 43 years old.
It's a math throwdown.
I think we should bet a beer on this.
All right. Well, you know, like how you're... Never mind.
Anyway, but the point is like, so this record came out, and it came out during a really prolific stretch for George Clinton. But I thought it was really fascinating just reading up on the backstory of him and all of this miasma of creativity, and that he started out as like kind of a doo-wop guy.
Yeah, it was like a simple doo-wop thing.
The Parliaments.
Yeah.
The Parliaments.
Which totally sounds like a doo-wop band.
It does.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. All you take away is the and the S, and it's
a whole new name.
Yeah.
So, well, it certainly was a whole different band.
Well, and it definitely, I don't know, like, if the and the S were holding back the funk, but it definitely got ushered in.
I expected it. Okay, so it was funk. Let me preface this by saying, like, I fully enjoyed this album a lot more than I thought I was going to, given how fucking weird George Clinton and this whole thing is. And
it's really weird.
From the outside and from what I've known and like all that stuff, like I you know, the weird stuff was cool because the music was good too. I'm into weird shit. Like, you know.
Oh, I know.
And so it was funny to me. My biggest beef with the record on a whole, it's a great party record, but like individually, the songs aren't super distinctive from one to the other all the time.
Yeah, I might not be as big an enthusiast of giant horn sections as some folks, because like that shit is all over the place. Uh-huh. And if I were to sum up this record in three words, pimps in space.
Well, that's what he said.
Did he
actually said pimps in space.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yes. And that's why he said, like, he's like, I was into Star Trek and I came up with that concept of pimps in space. That's why on the cover it's like that Cadillac
a giant Cadillac just cruising through space and living the life.
As one does.
I love that horn section on there, man. I honestly expected it to be less of that. And more like how funk got later in the decade, got a little, not harder, but like, I don't know. This was just a fun listen. Like, I could get why it sold so many records. It's a great party record.
So get a load of this. So I don't always, like, when we do these, I don't always get a chance to share. And this isn't really exactly a review, but there was, in light of the fact that George Clinton is actually set to retire reasonably soon, I think after the... this they tour they do this tour and
he's gonna start golfing or something.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure at this point he can kind of do whatever he wants, but certainly has plenty of folks to collaborate with. But the rumor is that he's set to retire, and so there was an article that popped up in the New Yorker like recently, like within the past couple of weeks, and this doesn't specifically pertain to the record that we're covering tonight, but I think it captures the ethos of the guy a little bit. And so it says, in the mid-70s, George Clinton and his band Funkadelic were working on a new song, Get Off Your Ass and Jam, at a studio in Los Angeles. At the time, Funkadelic was basically a psychedelic rock band that took apart soul ballads, and its heavy, sprawling jams felt like an endurance test. If you made it through them, you tasted true freedom. This is whatever writing. The musicians were taking a break when, according to Clinton, a white kid wandered into the sessions, probably a smack addict, as he recalled in his memoir from 2014. This is the name of George Clinton's memoir. Brothers be like, yo, like George, ain't that funkin' kind of hard on you? ?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Anyway, and that's clearly the widest rendering of that title anybody has played. But anyway, he says, so this guy wanders into the session, and the kid asks if they would give him $25 for a guitar solo, and Clinton was sufficiently bemused to agree. And the kid played like he was possessed, Clinton wrote. And he played a delirious, screeching solo all over the track and then walked off with his money, never to be heard from again, except for a few minutes on the Funkadelic album Let's Take It to the Stage from 1975. So,
dude, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that's, yeah.
There's a lot of awesome going on with
well,
Parliament Funkadelic.
Right. And the closer sentence to that was, the guy says, Clinton has always had an easygoing relationship to paperwork.
I feel like that's a nightmare for his business manager, but like, he just fucking forged his own fucking path, if anyone
ever did. Oh, yeah, but he wasn't the most well-liked individual amongst his bandmates, for sure, because of that. And nobody thought they were getting paid what they were told they were going to get paid.
Yeah.
And I guess he got a little, his managerial style could be a little heavy-handed, as it were. And, you know, the guy.
Well, I mean, he was the band leader. Like, and I'm sure people get pissed at the band leader all the time.
Yeah, if you don't get paid. He wasn't paying people. He was spending it all on crack.
Oh, that's probably not in the
ill-advised
in the band
at
leader's
best.
Yes.
Handbook, as it were.
But, well, I don't know. What do you want to start with here?
I do want to do P-Funk Wants to Get Funked Up.
All right, let's lay it down.
We have taken control as to bring you this special show. We will return it to you as soon as you are grooving. A welcome to station WEFUNK, better known as We Funk, or deeper still, the Mothership Connection, home of the extraterrestrial brothers, dealers of funky music, P-Funk, Uncut Funk, The Bomb.
Coming to you directly from the mothership, top of the chocolate Milky Way, 500,000 kilowatts of P-Funk power. So kick back, dig, while we do it to you in your eardrums. Oh, me? I'm known as Lollipop Man, alias the long-haired sucker. My motto is,
make mine the P-Funk. I want my funk uncut. Yeah, make my funk the P-Funk. I want to get funked up.
You know, when you talk on this show about AM Gold, like probably every other show or something,
yeah.
I feel like this is like FM radio in the 70s, man. Like,
yeah.
This is
with
like
all the
laying
talking,
it down.
All the talking.
Yeah, and
stuff.
Where the DJs were a little more freewheeling and they could actually pick their
this
records
is like,
or whatever.
It's like a cooler.
WKRP in Cincinnati.
He'd throw on Inagata DeVita. Well, not on this station, but like, you know, they throw on Inagata DeVita so they go get stoned and then come back and talk.
Probably on this station. I mean, they did have Funkadelic, which is like the.
The rockier.
Coin, the rockier. You know what? I'd never listened to Funkadelic before, and I went and listened to a few Funkadelic songs while I was listening to this. And I didn't have to suffer through. I guess I just picked the right ones because all the ones I listened to were great.
Well, they're probably the first ones that popped up on Spotify, right?
No. I went into their first record. I listened to like Maggot Brain, or I don't know if that's their first
What's
record.
It called? Maggot Brain?
Maggot Brain, yeah.
It was Man, they get fucking creative as shit with their song titles.
Uh-huh.
But
you know, okay, so I was kind of. Oh, do you have something to say? Did I cut you off?
Oh no, I was just gonna say this song fucking sets a mood, though.
Like, dude,
it is a way to start a fucking record.
Isn't it? Isn't like a cooler version of the slow jam though? Like, and I also feel like it's like,
dude, this is like Barry White territory. Like,
except if Barry White was on like DMT or something, or like if he'd eaten a bunch of mushrooms.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no, it's fucking weird, but good.
But hilarious, Mr. My name is Lollipop Man.
I wrote this last night while a little buzzed, but I wrote, it's the soundtrack to a rap party for a blaxploitation film. Like, I don't know if that's entirely true, but like,
yeah, could be some of that.
I mean, some of the music sounds like that for sure. I like that. I like that kind of funk, like blaxploitation, straight out from, you know, mid 70s. This is just a little bit.
And tweak it a little
if you did
more.
That, and then if they put a bunch of mushrooms in the punch bowl, you know?
Yeah.
But so one of the things that that has dissuaded me personally from going, like, you know, I love jazz and, you know, like even leading into this period of time, like, but I haven't really loved, and I love disco, but I've kept funk at arm's length for a long time, and I realized when I'm listening to this record, like, again, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's because I'm pretty sure when I moved to Austin, the predominantly popular musical style was white boy funk.
That was true. What was it? Bad Mother Goose.
There were so many
Retarded Elf,
Rockhead, Retarded Elf. I mean, that was the musical parrot. I mean, and there those are only three of the.
Oh yeah, and there was probably another half dozen that were doing like the frat circuit.
There was
circuit.
Little Sister. That was with a female.
Oh,
singer.
At Black Cat, it was like
Black
was like
Cat,
the home of like the white boy funk
and like the whatever was. It's now Mercado. There was Mercado Caribe, and then there was Steamboat.
There were many.
A lot. There were a lot of clubs, and there were a lot of white boy funk bands, and I got burned out on that shit
real quick.
Fucking quick.
Yeah.
And so, like, and also, so did the scene. Like, it didn't, you know, like, it
didn't have legs.
I think it had peaked, you know, like, right around the time I moved here, but for a couple of years leading.
I do love at least one Soul Hat song, and they were kind of part of that scene, but it was more rock oriented. But
there were some more No Good Boyo.
What is it? Soul Crusher, I think, is a fantastic song. And every Friday at 5 o'clock, KLBJ would play that song, and you knew it was the end of the work week, and then you could like rock out. But anyway, it's not this.
But that was less white boy fun. I mean, these are also like bands with
Bone Crushers, whatever that is called. Sorry, go ahead.
With horns and stuff like that. So anyway, it led me away from funk for a long time. And you know, now, like, especially when I was listening to this record, I was like, yeah, you know what? I enjoy this. Like, it's just gotta. I don't want to hear like iterations of it done by college students in, you know, like a mid-sized American city. In
just
the early
like 90s. a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy. It just degrades the original to the point where it's not cool anymore.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, and I do think that like one of the things that's really interesting about this act is the idea, not only that it's this sort of ever-changing collective. Like, to your point, Ryan, like the story about the induction in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, I just imagine
15 members.
I just imagine that it's like, you know, that it's kind of like a graduation ceremony, and they just keep walking by they hand them something and just keep going.
It's just the little parchment paper.
Yeah. Yeah.
They move their tassel over.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. As one does at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But anyway, yeah, no, the thing that I love is that like, not only are we talking about like really the sort of the forebearers of what we now know as the funk movement, but like all the elements that roll up into this, right? Like, there is a little bit of jazz there. There is a little bit of soul there. There definitely is there are various elements of rock, but it's boiled up in its own way.
Well, did you happen to notice that apparently James Brown's band was like kind of like a farm team for like this collective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just kept feeding them members.
Yeah. Well, and I think some of it and I don't know that this is true, but I mean, it certainly seems on paper that maybe
That was another band leader that wasn't well liked by his.
Well, no, they're probably going like, "Oh, this looks like fun over here. Like, I'm sure he's great." And then it turns out he's a tyrant as well. Like, I mean, who knows?
I don't know any. I don't. Yeah, I certainly don't know anything. But you know, I will say that a lot of those people. But I mean, a lot of those people would revolve in and out because they had a. You know, what I became aware of them was. In the early 90s when it was like just music was batshit crazy, you had like grunge and then there was like all this crazy shit, like Tony Bennett was on like MTV all the time. It was like just crazy town, and that's the first time I ever heard of George Clinton, and he had a single called Paint the White House Black, I think.
Sounds about right.
It was right.
It was prescient.
Yeah, that's true. But that's when I heard, that's when I found out about Bootsy Collins and a lot of the other people. I think like,
well, Grooves in the Heart. Did you not know Bootsy Collins from that?
No.
Oh man,
I didn't. I was too young to like really have it. I mean, like
you were like 17 when Grooves in the Heart by D-Live.
I wasn't listening to that kind of music. I wasn't like delving in and reading about music at the time. So
I like the idea though that if they were throwing darts, like essentially, like you know, if the picture that we're painting of MTV and not necessarily inaccurately, is they're like. We don't know. We're not sure what anybody likes. Like,
right.
Maybe, like, maybe for a minute it's this.
Let's just throw a bunch of people in a house and tape it.
Yeah. But I
like
that.
They were
just
doing whatever.
I like that if Clinton and company were throwing darts, it's like he just didn't give a shit. Like, he was like, this is what we do. Like,
they just sound like they just want to have fun.
Yeah.
And, like, largely it is.
Right. Well, all right. So, you want to roll another one?
Yeah, I think everybody will know. Give Up the Funk, in parentheses, Tear the Roof Off the Sucker.
Yep.
Okay. All right, we'll do that one next.
Tear the roof off, we're gonna tear the roof off the mother sucker. Tear the roof off the sucker. Tear the roof off, we're gonna tear the roof off the mother sucker. Tear the roof off the sucker. Tear the roof off, we're gonna tear the roof off the mother sucker. Tear the roof off the sucker. Tear the roof off, we're gonna tear the roof off the mother sucker.
You know what never gets old?
What's that?
When people substitute the word funk for the word fuck.
Oh, yeah. It's super edgy. It's a way of like profanity without actually saying it.
Sure. Like you just did off the air. Motherfunker.
Motherfunker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. So I'm going to call my van.
The motherfunker?
Oh, look, Farfignugan.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. Wordplay.
Mm-hmm.
.com.
Fucking grooving.
Basically we've been throwing around slogans in this garage like we're trying to make up bumper stickers.
Honestly, I feel like it's a little bit of heat stroke, so we're a little
delirious
a little bit.
Yeah.
The Beto O'Rourke campaign wants to send me a bumper sticker, and I don't think I'm ready to, I'll vote for him. I don't think I'm ready to commit to putting one on my car.
You don't have to put it on your car. You can put it anywhere.
Yeah, put it on a mirror. There's one on my car.
Put it on your French horn.
Kevin, I haven't had a French horn in 25 years, but that's good.
Metaphorically, I am in agreement. Like, I don't like to advertise my specifically.
I just don't want stickers on my car.
Well, okay, there's that too. But I don't like to advertise my politics or anything like that. And sometimes, especially, I've been pulled over in touring vehicles with people that had bumper stickers because the cops didn't like the politics. So,
yeah,
that's part of it.
Did George Clinton ever have that problem? I bet not.
I think the hair, he may have gotten pulled over, and the reefer smoke coming
from
the buses.
That man probably had some driving while black issues here and there.
Possibly.
What'd you guys think of that song?
Same thing I've always thought of that song.
Well, it's,
I feel like when that song comes on, there ought to be like just like a team listens for wherever it's playing and then just runs in and like hands you a little piece of shag carpeting. Like
in a tiny disco ball.
Yeah. If you're going to experience
those are your,
this,
New Year's Eve right 1975 way. Accoutrement.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. The other thing that struck me, I was like, well, this is clearly like that. You know, we've talked about a lot of the influences already, but I was like, the New Zealand guys,
Sarah McLachlan.
No.
Oh.
yes. And yes, Sarah McLachlan.
Puppies.
Fly to the Conchords.
Fly to the Conchords. That's the mother flipping.
See, I feel like this band is as close as I get to having my comedy and my music together. Because they're both like it's mostly music, but yeah. It's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny.
And Fly to the Conchords is like, hey, let's try to be funny and throw in some music there. And
see,
like,
I used to think that.
Are you trying to invert that?
Yes.
A little.
Okay.
I feel the same way about Flat of
Concord,
I feel the same way about Tenacious D.
No, we're not.
I don't feel
the same way about those two acts at all. But
okay,
yeah,
well, you're allowed.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a suspension of disbelief.
All right. You want to do a few minutes with?
Let's do. Yeah. Who's got the middle today?
I do.
All right.
All right. We'll come back in a minute and talk about it.
All right.
Oh, wait, we're doing it? All right. Guys.
Apparently you have something special for us.
I do have something special for you. It is a video that I have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and keep forgetting about, mostly because I fucking hate this band. But however, I'm going to give you and everyone listening to this a gift that you will thank me for. In fact, I will be surprised if I don't get personal emails about this, and that is the video for Journey song Separate Ways. So... thank you. I mean, wait, you're welcome.
I hope you only get impersonal emails.
Yeah, I'd like, well, I get those all the time. Like
that's called spam, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, let's listen to it. Someday love will find you. Break those chains that bind you. Holy God.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
I've been saving that one up, but not in a... See, okay, look. When it comes to Journey in general, it tortures him for me. I actually happen to like that song.
I like that song, too.
Which is the ironic part about it, because it is in the short list of one of the worst videos ever made.
It is. That video looked like somebody lost a bet. Like, literally, they're like, here are all the things that you have to do if
I
flip
like
this coin.
It's Kenny Ortega level. Bad.
Well, around the same time, though, too. I think Kenny Ortega came out maybe a little bit
and
after
we're
that.
Referring to Billy Squier's. What was
oh,
it? What was
yeah.
It? Was it Rock Me Tonight?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Is there any move that's a worse move than air keyboards?
Air keyboards to
no,
your
yes.
own song?
No. There is a worse move. The keyboardist was doing air keyboards.
Yeah.
And then the singer, what's his name? Steve?
Steve Perry.
Steve Perry starts like... you know, like how sometimes you would see rock players taking a lead, and the singer would air guitar a lead to the guitar player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
Okay. Well, that's what Steve Perry was doing, taking an air keyboard lead to the keyboard player taking an air keyboard lead.
Yeah. So it just looked like both of them were crazy.
That's a worse thing.
Yeah, it's worse.
And for some reason, at some point, the keyboard is stuck to the side of a warehouse.
Yeah. Well, magnets, Ryan.
And the drummer was like. The bass player from Spinal Tap?
Yeah. There was a little bit of...
The whole thing was kind of Spinal Tap Party of Five. Like, come right this way.
Yeah, and then they're fighting over this one woman who keeps, like, walking back and forth down a pier.
And she can't be bothered by anybody.
And then...
even when she's standing in the middle of them.
But then it gets a little... even when she's standing in the middle of
them. Well, there's a David Lynchian.
No, it's a little Twilight Zone twist at the end. Where it turns out she's asleep in a bed, it looks like in a prison, but she's got her headphones on and she's just listening to that song
in full makeup.
In full makeup, yeah. And she's dreaming about the band and them fighting over her, I guess.
And she just had this amazing dream about them. And
boy, I'm glad that she, when she woke up, she decided to put, like, I'm assuming she woke up, put pen to paper, and then got it to Journey.
Sent a treatment to the management team.
Yep.
Yeah. And they were like, yes. Yes, we're doing this.
Did you guys notice that Steve Perry really, really, really liked doing that Wonder Woman thing where he crosses his arms like this? Like, it's a...
He was an emotive man back in the day. Have you seen the documentary on their new singer and their iteration with the new singer?
I did see that, only because it's such an amazing story. Again,
did he come from a cover band? Is that what...
No, he was from the Philippines.
He did come... Well, he's Filipino, and he did come from a cover
band.
That's
right. Yeah.
It wasn't just a Journey cover band.
Or something.
He sounds exactly like Steve Perry.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But he's like this little Filipino guy, and they did like Night Ranger songs and Journey and whatnot, and like they were like cruising around YouTube one night, and we're like, oh, this guy. And they had him out to audition, and like
he's been playing. I think he actually just left the band, or so. I think they were doing some. Anyway, it's irrelevant. But yeah, I fucking hate Journey, and I happen to really like that song.
There are probably a half dozen Journey songs that
I will say this. This is what I have to say about Journey. Even all the Journey shit that I hate, they're still like swinging for the moon with those hooks. Those some of those hooks like are just. You know, like Open Arms, or what's the one that Don't Stop Believing? I mean, that's a fucking like A++++.
Well,
plus
and some
doesn't
of
mean I want to listen to it.
They were a little oversaturated in the '80s for sure. And
they're on fucking video game. When
and
video
and,
games were
and
new.
As far as like some of those like '80s like generic, you know, light metal bands or whatever they were, some of their guitar tone stuff like could get a little mean, you know, if a little saccharine. At the same time, I don't know if that makes any sense, but...
Not really.
They weren't that dangerous, but, like, to, like, a fucking 9-year-old, I was like, all right.
I know. I wasn't really exposed to them, and that was during the period of time where for about, you know, I don't know, we only listened to Christian music in my household during Journey's heyday, so I wasn't exposed to them until high school.
Does that mean you're going to pick an Amy Grant record at some point?
No, I'm bad, but I'm not that bad, man.
All right.
All right, Scriber. Well, we may have to go our separate ways from that track, but
okay, let's go back to Parliament. I was going to say Funkadelic, but this is...
They're the same band. They just play different types of music.
Yes,
but yes.
All right,
go back into Parliament.
Let's go.
So, when we were off mic and... Shane was noting earlier that Kevin's lovely wife, Allison, started watching baseball like by herself. Anyway, I did my mid-show thing, and I went out, and I was like, oh, how are the Astros doing? And she goes, we just lost. And I just love it that she uses the we now, that she is so invested in that team. This has nothing to do with the show other than the fact that they're called the Astros, and this is a space-affiliated record. But she seemed a little crestfallen.
They're like
they don't lose that often.
They're like
it's okay.
30 games over 500.
Yeah,
but,
they're doing well.
And to that end, okay, so bringing it full circle, one of the blurb from the Pop Matters review on this record I thought was kind of interesting. Talks specifically about the sci-fi component of the Clinton mythology. And how that was instrumental in providing some grand theater to his core urban audience, and has taken flower in the work of some electronica and certainly some rap musicians, notably
Dre all day.
Well,
some
rap
musicians,
right?
Yeah.
Well,
like
and
pretty
it's,
much all of them.
And
yeah.
Well, one of the ones that they call it here is a turntablist, DJ Spooky. Plus, absolutely everything that Clinton did was danceable, which is one reason that his music was a crossover smash. And I think it's like the crossover part of that is totally like it's right up front.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was saying at the top of this show. I mean, like, you know, danceable, it's a party record. That's,
oh, absolutely. You just throw this on. You don't have to pay like a whole lot of attention, but like it's a good vibe.
It's a party record. I'm imagining people like you throw that record on, people start throwing their keys in the fishbowl in the kitchen, you know, those kind of parties in the suburbs.
Oh, the key party where, yeah.
There should also be, in addition to the shag carpet and the little disco ball, like maybe like just like a pop-up hot tub that just emerges from somewhere. Just like somebody just go like, oh, hey, I just brought this.
Like, dude, I was at work the other day and somebody was mentioning that they were saw an ad online or something for a like portable hot tub.
Yeah, they're portable ones.
Dude, want. That's all I'm saying. I throw this record on, have people over.
Like Ryan just goes monosyllabic all of a sudden. Yeah.
Yeah. Want, need. Ryan, and need on now.
This has been in the back of my mind. Do you remember that great Onion headline from like the late 90s about George Clinton?
Clinton dropped a bomb on Iraq.
Clinton threatens to drop the bomb on Iraq. And it's George Clinton.
I do. That was the very first Onion headline I ever read.
Was it really?
And I thought I had never heard of the Onion before, and I thought it was about Bill Clinton, the president.
That would be the crux of the joke.
Right. Yeah. But I was like,
now you're making it not funny.
Well, no, but you have to understand, I'm like, I had to go back and reread it. It was in my South by Southwest like swag bag. I went back home and I'm like reading everything and I go to that. I was like, oh, I didn't look at the photo. It's George Clinton. Oh.
That would be the part that makes it funny. Shane.
Thus began a long and hilarity-filled relationship with the Onion.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. All right, what do you want us to do?
All right.
To shut down the motherfucker.
Well,
why did you put Jerry Reed on yours?
That's exactly what I was going to... Shane pointed out that I, in my notes, when I was listening to the record last night, I wrote down stuff that was related to both Sigmund Freud and Jerry Reed. And so I can kind of tie this up for you. It came into my head that they let their collective ids run wild. And I looked up Sigmund Freud to make sure I was using that right. And I was using it right. Like, they, you know, they were kind of going a little crazy and having some fun with it. But there's a song on here that reminds me of Amos Moses, which is about as funky as Jerry Reed gets. But it's called Unfunky UFO. But I don't think it's unfunky. But anyway, it's got funk in it. It's got UFO in it. It kind of ties the whole thing up in a bow. Why don't we check that one out?
All right. We'll be the judge.
If that's what's unfunky to Parliament, like, that just shows how out of touch I am with what constitutes funk.
Is it the UFO that was like, because the UFO is not from here, they wouldn't recognize the funk? Or
that's a good point, Kevin. I'm glad you pointed that out.
That actually makes a little more sense than anything.
Martians
else,
probably have no idea what constitutes funky.
Yeah.
You know what I have this great idea or story in my mind about how all of these song titles got generated. Like somebody would just like
psychedelic drugs
would just wake up George Clinton real quick and record what he had to say the first few words that came out of his mouth. Yeah. Oh, fuck a UFO.
Yeah.
Can you pronounce this one?
Oh, is this the super one?
Oh, no, I'm not even going to try.
Yeah, I don't know if that was just him like talking into sleep, but it's a monosyllabic word.
It's a multisyllabic word.
Super groovalistic profits funkistation. Anyway, and then in parentheses for a good measure, the bumps bump. And that's a song title.
Yeah.
And well, I'm telling you, like, I think that my theory or my hypothesis or whatever it is, it holds true right now, and that somebody would just, he'd be like, okay, right. Because I read this thing like many years ago about how Salvador Dali would take naps and he would have a metal bowl on his chest and hold a spoon. Of course, this is probably apocryphal. And then when he would fall asleep, his fingers would release the spoon into the bowl, it would clang and wake him up, and he would immediately write down what he was dreaming.
Whatever weird thing he was just dreaming
yeah,
of.
Yeah, and that's kind of like what this seems like to me, like the song titles.
I might be off here, but you think like Morrissey saw these song titles and was like, maybe if I just fey them up a little bit, I can just write out these like, you know, half paragraph song
they're
titles.
They're not sad though. They're not. There's no like. That I didn't feel
well,
like
there's no word economy. Is my point. Like
no, well, clearly that's true.
Is that the way that you were finally going to work Morrissey into this show?
I had to cross off the list, but. Yeah, like, you know.
Kevin has
no rules.
Kevin is beaming evil eyes at you right now.
It's just not worth the
he's just like,
effort.
It,
but
yeah,
sure.
It doesn't pertain.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah. No. Well, but I do think like I will say like even though that was a gag, I don't necessarily think there's a direct line. I do think that like one of the things that we can agree on, and we talked a little bit about this on this show tonight, like they're just a wide variance of influences, like not just in style, but just like, yeah, just like I find myself like continually thinking about different acts that have incorporated some of the stuff that we've heard. In
I was
for sure.
Oh. Go ahead. I was thinking kind of the same thing. And this is one of the, we say this every so often, like I wouldn't mind having a part two on this band with another record at some point to like continue
that
right conversation.
That.
Sure.
Maybe doing a Funkadelic record or
yeah.
something. But
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah, maybe something like that.
Funkadelic had the reputation of being the more dangerous of the two acts. Like this Parliament was supposed to be a little bit more radio friendly, but like this shit's still pretty out there.
Yeah,
like,
Funkadelic apparently is more rock, but I do feel like, I don't know if I need to like apologize to the world
just
for this,
in general.
But like Red Hot Chili Peppers would not exist without
this band.
Oh,
there's another
band.
White boy funk band.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, man. Like, and I've taken some shit
for
this.
Who do we blame for the ballads?
Among people in this room.
Yeah.
Well, among, like, you know, like, my Facebook feed is mostly people I know from, like, the music business because, like, I just did, you know, like, I only got Facebook to, like, promote shows and stuff. And somebody wrote something once about, like, it was like a Nick Cave quote about, like, every time I turn on the radio and there's a shitty song on it, it's Red Hot Chili Peppers. And he's not wrong, per se, but I chimed in. Mother's Milk is a fucking good record. And, like, after that, like, they did Blood Sugar Sex Magik, and it sounded more like this, but...
Failing to see what, where you're going here.
I think Mother's Milk is a fucking good record, because it took equal elements of, like, punk and incorporated some funk into it. And it's the first one they had with John Frusciante.
Why don't we talk about this record another time when we have...
Well, I'm just pointing out. I just have to put it out there.
As an influence, like as an act that was clearly influenced by, you know, whatever. Like,
he produced George
Clinton
produced
and
Freaky
sure,
Styley yeah. for Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't think that's anywhere near as good a record as Mother's Milk, but like they were legit in their, you know, I just think they're kind of a bunch of mooks. And they're probably douchebags.
Well, anyway, but that act and many, many others clearly influenced by...
That is true.
...the P-Funk.
Yes.
All right.
Kevin, you got our final selection this evening, the new song?
I do have our final selection this evening, yeah.
What you got for a current affair?
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to listen to a track off the new P-Funk record.
Awesome. Let's do it.
Da 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 da
was the Parliament track, the new Parliament track, I'm Gonna Make You Sick of Me, featuring Mudbone and
Scarface.
Yeah. Anyway, I think before we get into this, let me just say, having watched that video, not a lot of professionalism at that hospital.
No, like, man, those nurses were really crossing some lines there.
Some lines. Yeah.
Dress code to start.
Yeah, they weren't wearing scrubs.
And their skirts not quite covering it was a lot of bootylicious going on there. Yes.
Anyway,
there was a song in there somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of different things going on.
Well,
there was randomly like a little funk thing in there for about 22 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like something George Clinton did for sure. Yeah. It sounds like a lesser canon George Clinton stuff.
Right. Yes.
And I think it's aptly titled.
Yeah, because it's 6 minutes long of the same thing.
It's really
and it's
long.
Also like, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but like the way it's set up, like basically somebody just sampled him saying, I'm going to make you sick, make you sick of me, and then I'm going to give you the antidote. And then them going, ba-da-la-da-la-da-da. And it was just two samples that they just continuously played.
Yeah, there was a nice little bridge in the middle. I thought that was cool.
I feel like that song was 5.5 minutes long because they had to get in, each of the guest stars had to get their own like whole section in that.
Their
that
stanza.
Yeah,
like,
they had to get their
here's
own.
This guy.
But none of it made sense.
No, it didn't. It was all kind of Frankenstein.
No, wait.
Nothing in the Clinton canon makes sense.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm just saying, like, those songs from the album we listened to earlier, it's weird, like, you know, lyrically, but musically.
But
they were
actually pretty good. And that was just kind of a little trifle fuck around. And everybody wants to record with George Clinton, I think, at this point in his life. He's got to be, what, like late 70s, early 80s? He's just like, fuck it, let's just do it. Like, that's kind of been his philosophy of life. Like, yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, now that I'm old, I can't, buy as much pussy anymore. It was like his famous quote when we talked about Atomic Dog. I digress. I'm glad I saw that. I'm probably not going to be dialing that up on the old Spotify all the time.
No.
It was an interesting video. Yeah. In fact, we're all about interesting videos tonight. Yeah. That almost rose to the level of Journey, Separate Ways.
Well,
Separate Ways was more entertaining. I gotta say
that was something.
There were no air keys in this one.
That's true. There was a lot of I don't know if I want to call it eye candy, but there was a bunch
pretty
of
girl
stuff.
Butts.
Yeah, girl bottoms. All over the place.
Lots of girl bottoms.
All right. Well, circling back to the item at hand, thanks again, Shane, for, or Ryan, was this yours?
This
was
Ryan.
Ryan's. Yeah. For bringing us the Parliament.
Majesty of Parliament.
Majesty of Parliament in their element. I feel like there's a lot more we could have said about that record, but.
Dig.
We'll do another one.
Yeah, we will do another one. Yeah, as far as next week goes, I think I'm gonna hold off on what my selection is. I have an idea on what I think it will probably be, but I may change it. So we'll
run your lottery wheel or whatever it is, and then pull out the slip and let us know when that happens.
All right, and maybe Mark will be back next week and tell us about Barcelona.
Barcelona.
All right. Hey, listen, and thanks for everybody for listening. Until next week, I'm Kevin.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Shane.
This is Somebody Likes It.